dies, no biggie. No surprise, no pity. Lived a couple lives, go ahead and slide. Hope I take a couple with me. Made a couple dollars, it got tricky quickly. What you expect? Play stupid games, you fly an easy jet. Bratislava to Utrecht. Something fell off before I even left. So when I saw the missed calls, I knew it was next. Didn't have to open the text. Stupid prizes, couples therapy on Zoom. It's a train wreck. My evil eye ward off hex though. FaceTime declined, I'm trying to live in the moment like death row. The sunset in the desert, red glow, redness in the west. I sip Mexico's best slow. Mezcal Negroni, sitting atop the corral, smoking, watching unbroken wild ponies run wild at sundown. Only the lonely big tree like a sundial.
Sticking, we tuck and roll. I can't take you with me, but I'll be on your phone. You can take it out. Anytime you wanna know where I've been gone, nothing out of Texas feels like weeks on the road. Pissed in Mississippi, stopped in New Mexico. I ain't seen my folks. And strangely, I feel right at home on my own.
Three hobos, one clarinet. Black rainbows, the night wet, the room smell like Marrakesh. Dubstep drift in the window, I sit at the desk. It's a party outside, some half, some overdressed. They was going off during Playboy Cardi set. Now they in the halls partying, checking they phones. Bass shake the walls, I'm smoking alone in a cardigan. Thinking of home, the cannabis single origin, waffle cone. Went back down to the bar again, wig blown. After party packed like Parliament. Ass cheeks and cheekbones, lips slightly parted, butter wouldn't melt, I gave her margarine. I'm looking like the helper, someone who just wandered in. The vibe is animal pelts, chunky rings, clunky shoes, lots of ink. Dudes who order everybody's drink, really I'm just waiting for my phone to ping. I'm thinking about you when I'm supposed to be thinking about other things. I don't go to sleep, I tread water till I sink.
Breakfast ticking, we tuck and roll. I can't take you with me, but I'll be on your phone. You can take it out. Anytime you wanna know where I've been gone. Nothing out of Texas feels like weeks on the road. Piss in Mississippi, stopped in New Mexico. I ain't seen my folks. It's strange, I feel right at home.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Nectar Island on this first day of June. Beautiful weather. Just talking about mushrooms with producer Simon. And yeah, so hope everyone's well. And yeah, the tracks you've just heard were The Vernal Equinox by Daniel Herskedal, Dream Another by Micaiah McCraven, and the last track you heard was FaceTime by Billy Woods and Kenny Siegel. Yeah, I am currently waiting for my esteemed co-host, Rafa. So he's apparently stuck in some kind of TFL limbo. So while we're waiting for him, I'll play another track called Shiver by Fever Ray.
Just a little touch.
welcome back to Nectar Island. As I was saying, this song was Shiver off Fivre's latest album, Radical Romantics. And look what the cat dragged in.
I'm in.
Hi, Rafa. How's it going?
Yeah, good. Sorry, I'm late again. Yeah. I was running. But yeah, really good, man. 1st of June, like sun everywhere. That's good. That's good weather. Good things ahead,
yeah,
I think.
Finally. Yeah, finally. So... Any interesting events happen end of May?
Yeah, lots of things are kind of like happening. Like I went last Friday to the Slam Dunk Festival in Leeds to NoFX, the last tour of NoFX.
That's why I see a NoFX song in our playlist.
Yeah, yeah. As I has a reason to it. But it was great, really good. Like it takes me back to when, like, the last time I went to a NoFX show, I was in living in São Paulo back then, 2012, I think. And it's hard, man. It's rough.
Did you go in the mosh pit?
Of course. I did everything. Yeah.
I would love to.
Yeah. I'm still feeling like in the ribs, you know, a little bit like in the left ankle. That.
I must have been. Yeah. That's their final ever. Concert?
Final ever, yeah, final ever tour. So they're doing like the last tour.
They always say that.
But they open the show, say like, this is it. This is the last tour. Like, you know, they even told a joke. Like, saying like, oh, it's not gonna be like Iron Maiden or Black Sabbath or whatever. This is it. You know, it's like Michael Jackson. This is it. Okay, cool. So then I think I guess that's it.
Yeah, but when one of them suddenly realizes he needs like another house in Malibu. Whatever.
Yeah, it's true. But they're really kind of like, you know, I think like what a respectable NoFX. They were kind of like this punk rock bands, the early 90s, like Green Day, like Offspring.
Yeah.
But they never signed to a record company.
No, yeah, they didn't do like Green Day, Offspring, yeah, for sure. And they always, yeah. I mean, even though they're huge, it's more with their following rather than like, yeah,
it's very kind of like that. They made a point out of like, okay, so that's kind of like, if we sign to the industry, we're going to sign to our biggest enemy, because this is a punk rock band. We shouldn't sign to anyone. And they don't kind of like, even the Leeds festival, I think there were about like 10,000 people there or 20, but it's not enough to, you know, to kind of like the crowd of the stadium for.
Is that the Leeds Festival? No.
It's called Slam Dunk Festival.
Okay, and yeah. So is it just punk?
Just punk. So it was
what
like NoFX, Legwagon, Bad Religion.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So like a lot, and there was no use for a name. I think I don't know. Like the lineup, there was kind of like six or seven bands in the NoFX in the end.
Any punk band that is full of young people or is it just the old dinosaurs?
I think the old dinosaurs. Yeah, it's more like about like, you know, NoFX taking their friends out to the last.
I guess they still have a young crowd as well.
Yeah, I think so. But it's more like my age, you know, like late 30s. I think like it's that's kind of like the target audience.
Yeah, it was funny because like last weekend I was at, I think it's called Love Saves the Day Festival in Bristol. We were with some friends, and that was electronics festival, and it was funny because like all the, like pretty much all the headliners were people like, you know, who were big in the 90s or you know, and then you know, like Shy FX or the stuff like that, and Sugar Babes was there, although I didn't see them, but then the crowd, I felt really old in the crowd. So yeah, it's funny how like the old generation is still monopolizing to a certain extent.
So they have like a new following, you mean? Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I was like, you weren't even alive when they released this. But,
that's
you know,
true.
Again, that's
come on, I'm the real thing. You know, these guys that came afterwards.
Yeah, although I wouldn't really think I'm real there either. But yeah, so no, definitely a good time. Summer festival season is starting.
Yeah, well, so we have been to the electronic festival, you're saying?
Yeah, it was called, I think, Love Saves the Day. I went there because it was a stag do, and we kind of went there without really knowing we just bought a day ticket. We kind of had no idea who was playing. And then we did. They were like, oh, my God, I know this. I know that. So,
oh, okay. So
and lots of random shit. So it was good. cool. Yeah. So,
so next week I'm going to Roger Waters. This is not a drill.
Oh, yeah.
Ochu. Yeah. I'm going because my wife loves it. And she loves it more than she loves Pink Floyd.
Pink Floyd itself. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
but that kind of is causing kind of like, you know, have you seen the controversy?
Yeah,
about,
because of his alleged anti-Semitism.
Yeah. It's kind of like
I was reading a review that apparently he's also kind of toned it down a bit. There used to be like Stars of David in the background, and like I think now he's trying to be a bit more. I don't know. I do. I also like the music of Pink Floyd. I'm not sure how I feel about Roger Waters himself. Well, I mean, now that you've mentioned NOFX, I think it would be a shame if we didn't play a song. So The Cause by NOFX, Punk and Drublick.
Is it for the money? No, it isn't for the fun. It's a plan, a scam, a diagram. It's for the benefit of everyone. You gotta have a little respect. Subterranean ideals. Traditional neglect. It isn't for the fame. It's a scheme, a dream, or buttering. We want everyone to think the same. Cause you know what you know is right. And you feel what you can ignore. And you try so hard to point the blame. A shame, what are we doing this for? The cause, we're just doing it for the cause. The cause, we're just doing it for the cause. Don't
And we're back to Nectar Island. Following NoFX is the Cause. That was a Hot Topic by Le Tigre. Also throwback, late 90s band this time, who are actually, Le Tigre are playing on Saturday at the Troxy in Limehouse. So I'm going to go see them. Should be good. I have no idea what their new tracks are like, but as long as they play this album, I'll be very happy. You were just saying you were going to a film festival soon?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to Portugal in the end of the month. It's a festival called Fests. It's an independent film festival close to Porto. It's a beach called Espinho. So it's going to be good.
Yeah. Is it like sort of short films?
No. I think everything, but more like
independent.
Yeah, I really aim to be independent. So I'm going there as a producer, and then I'm going to they have like pitch rounds. They have kind of like the documentaries and.
So are you presenting a film there?
No, I'm just listening. But I'm going there with the industry badge. Making connections.
You're gonna make some deals.
Yeah, of course, man. I'm gonna shake some hands. Million pounds. Yeah. It's good to be like in the both sides. Go to NoFX, being punk a little, and then go back to the business side. Kill them. Yeah. Talking business, Succession. You guys watch Succession?
So yeah, I'm not sure to what extent we should say what happened.
Yeah, of course.
But I also watched the final episode on Monday. And fucking
You haven't.
No, I think we've all watched it.
Oh, you've seen it.
I'm just wondering if it's too close for the many listeners we have.
Yeah, no. I'm not going to spoil anything, but it's good.
Right? Yeah, it's a good feature. Yeah, quite dramatic and like quite with some reversals and everything. The question now is what are we gonna watch now?
Yeah, so that's a big question, and that's kind of like the HBO question as well, because you have like Writer Guild strike.
Oh yeah,
still going on. There is one thing that's kind of like the next. They bet on a new series called The Idol. So it was released in Cannes last week, and it was destroyed by the critics. Like nobody liked it.
Really?
It's produced by what's the name of the guy? The guy that's a musician as well. The Weeknd. The Weeknd. So he is the producer in it, and the showrunner is Sam Levine. He was the showrunner for Euphoria. So basically, like, it's a lot of sex, drugs, and it's about the music industry. So when I read the synopsis, I said, that can be good, but it was destroyed in Cannes. Like, people hated it. I don't know why. I don't know. I'm going to watch it anyway, but...
Is that an HBO thing?
HBO. So the next big thing on HBO is that one. I think the second season of Industry is really good. Industry as well, if you haven't seen it.
What is that?
So Industry is about, like, the financial market in London. So second season already. Yeah, so it has been kind of like... people were.
Is it like a dramedy, or is it? Like,
it is more of a drama than a comedy, okay. I think. But it's about like this girl. There's a brilliant girl that comes to London, kind of like fresh out of the oven, basically fresh out of university, and she is introduced by this kind of like. But she's introduced to the finance market that is kind of like this meaningless machine of money, basically. So stock market and the way they deal with people there is about like numbers and targets and deadlines and this kind of thing. And she gets addicted to it, and she gets addicted to it, into the drugs, into the sex, into everything that comes with it, and to the money as well. So it's like big bonuses.
It's like our friends of mine.
Yeah. So mine too. It's like there are a lot of friends of mine that work in the finance market. And it's like, and they say like it's accurate. They say like this is kind of like okay. So this is it's true in some points that kind of like people and they even make kind of like that there's an episode where they go into headhunt students in Cambridge and Oxford and these big universities and whatever, and they say like okay, so you can come by and kind of like work with us for a year. You're gonna make like 100K, and then you can save money for what you want to do. You want to be a poet or whatever, you can do it afterwards. But nobody leaves because you get kind of like stuck in the lifestyle, you know.
Yeah.
You need to earn more money.
Well,
you need
to, and then they give you more and more incentives and like shares and whatever.
Yeah, and then your life is over, basically, in a sense of like, you know, you just spend the whole life doing nothing, just producing nothing. And that's kind of like the biggest kind of like Noam Chomsky used to say that that's kind of like we are in a time where the brightest minds in the world are working for useless money machines, you know, for stock markets. So they're not producing anything. They're not saving anything. They're not creating anything. They're just earning money for the value of money, you know. That's the never ending. Yeah, but that's a good show.
Industry. Yeah, I was just Googling now, and it's actually on BBC iPlayer in the UK.
Okay, cool.
So.
Cool. Good.
So yeah, won't have to find a dodgy stream for that one. allegedly.
Yeah, well,
not that I ever do.
We all have like Succession, like Wits Brown right now. Like,
yeah, I mean,
why aren't are you speaking on the phone? Because I don't know if you. So you're watching Beef. Okay, cool.
What is
the mic up there?
Hello, Simon.
Producer Simon.
Yeah, Simon.
Beef? So Beef was one that was introduced to us from a friend, but based around the Asian community in California, I think.
Yeah. I have seen parts of it. I think like Beef is kind of like one of kind of like it is part of the strategy of like Netflix right now. That's kind of like doing kind of like this broad themes like crime thriller, but then putting diversity on it in a sense of like in high quality production, kind of like, because Beef is A24, so it's the same production company for like everything, like Everything Everywhere at Once is A24.
Okay. Gotcha.
So this kind of like high quality, good actors.
I see it's got Steven Yeun in it. Already.
Yeah. So I have seen like kind of like two or three episodes because my wife watched everything. But I felt like it's like Breaking Bad. It's like a crime thriller that there's a lot of cliffhangers, a lot of twists, plot twists. And did you like it?
Yeah, but we're not finished on it. I think a little insight into a different community is really interesting, and the dynamics between the different nations within that community are really, really interesting. I think the just the pent up stress that exists within people and that you can identify with sometimes in the people that you see around you is really interesting. I think the kind of, you know, the rags to riches, the jumping, the way the story jumps around, I really enjoy. I think it's interesting. Let's face it, you know, I'm not, you know,
it is binge watchable.
It's not changing my life.
Yeah, that's the thing.
But it's definitely interesting to watch, and it's filling. It's probably a bad thing to say. It's filling.
No. But it's kind of like most of the things are like they're entertaining. But you're not gonna. They're not going to stick with you forever, in a sense of like, okay, so you're not going to rewatch it. No. That's what I mean.
I don't feel like I'm part of the family.
Yeah,
You know when you watch a really great show. Let's say The Sopranos, for example.
I'm rewatching that for the fourth time.
Yeah.
I'm still doing.
Well, I mean, I think last time we were talking about this, you know, this Actors Guild strikers. Like, let's crack open the box sets again. Let's get the Sopranos box set down and let's go through it again. It's time.
Yeah, it's true.
But you feel part of the family. You know, when you do that, you're really bought into the whole piece, even though it's full of psychopaths and sociopaths.
No, even like Succession, right? Like you feel part of, like you feel for these guys, and these guys are billionaires, and they are kind of like idiots, and you feel for them because it's part of like it's so good that it's part of the human tragedy. You can identify things that are common with those people, with those kind of like billionaires, of those kind of like, you know, they are.
Yeah, because you can see that they come from space, like places of vulnerability or jealousy, which could also, we are also subject to. It's funny because sometimes people like with Succession, people are like, I can't identify with them all, they're all horrible, but I don't think they're all, I mean, obviously it's caricatural because it's a comedy, but still, like, I don't think they're all, none of them are purely evil.
No. There's no evil. They're weakness, and that's the thing. Like,
they suffer from the same human flaws that everybody does. It's just that like they're overpowered and on steroids because of the stakes.
Yeah, of course. And then you have like, you know, if you do like the hero's journey, you know, like the heroes go and they have like a lot of challenges on the way, and then in the end, if they win, they learn something. if they lose, the kind of the tragedy is that they remain the same. The tragedy is that they lost to themselves, basically. In the end, like, you can kind of like, okay, so they haven't learned anything. And they kind of like, and that's the end of them. That's the tragedy of succession. It's kind of like they had opportunity to grow and it didn't. And they just stayed the same.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like, okay. So and it's sad. You feel sad for them. You feel kind of like, okay, so yeah. So now it's all over, in a sense, right? Like, just like Sopranos, right? In the end, like, I remember, it's amazing, yeah, yeah. Dr. Melfi was saying, like, remember, like, she was saying, like, so she was thinking of if the psychoanalysis was helping Tony in the end, and she decided to abandon him because she was kind of like, the analysis was actually, like, giving him a reason to do what he did. So it was justifying his violent actions in the end. He was kind of like taking things from the analysis and using in the mafia, you know. So that's
he's good.
Really good, really good. Come on,
Definitely a lot of.
You have watched Sopranos, right?
I've watched bits and bobs. It's one of the things, like, it's on the pile of things I need to watch that I haven't watched, and I feel like I'll never get around to it.
I've got the encyclopedia, which I haven't gone through, but I need to.
Exactly. 100%. You have the cookbook, right?
I've got the cookbook and the encyclopedia.
No, you have to make the ZT
The big ZT. I've made the lasagna, and the lasagna is something else because, you know, I'm not joking, you put. You do your pork mince, you do your, you know, you cook, just fairly traditional cook down, but the layers of different cheese you put in it are quite something. You know, you put layers of Parmesan, then layers of mozzarella, and then you put ricotta, and you just layer and layer and layer with meat, layers of pasta, and then again the cheese layers. It's incredible.
Oh man, I'm hungry. Yeah. That's good. We should do like an extra island with food.
Well, when we get our webcams on, we'll get a little we'll get a little field kitchen in here.
That'd
and
be
we'll
cool.
do like you know
that'd be perfect.
Tony's maybe there's a is there not a functioning kitchen in this new
there
new
is
studio
still.
Space.
We're just like
Metro
yeah,
line.
Yeah, amazing.
Oh,
yeah,
cool.
I think it's a microwave, we'll struggle, but hey, we'll try.
Anyway, yeah, cool. Well, on that bombshell, let's let's play some more tracks.
Thank you. time machines. Just as afraid of you as you are, as you are. The sex lives of saints and invisible men. Devoured. I like an ox lost in the promised land, so like a pocket calculator, trying on some new name. Someday, someday, found my heart, found my heart.
Back again. Yeah, the two tracks you've just heard were Waxwork by the Ishmael Ensemble and Ox Eye by Caliphone from the new album called Villagers. Yeah, we were just talking about film and things like that, and yeah, there is a certain high-profile film festival at the moment, isn't there? Cannes. So yeah. Have you been following the goings-on?
Kind of. Like, yeah. You know, the general aspect of Cannes, you know, like the opening movie was Indiana Jones 5. Yeah. And I said, like, Indiana Jones was always my favorite hero, you know, like, it was kind of like, okay, you know,
it's kind of the first thing for our generation, kind of the first, one of the first things you watch as a kid. Yeah.
Yeah, well, one of the first things I wanted to be was an archaeologist because of Indiana Jones. It's like, okay, so that's, I want to be that, you know, I want to go and treasure hunt and then get the lady in the end, you know, fight the Nazis. And but they're saying, like, I am not expecting like a great movie.
So still Harrison Ford?
Still Harrison Ford, yeah. And I think like, and that's kind of like was, so they used a lot of de-aging digitally on Harrison Ford because I think that the plot, because Saw the trailer and it's very kind of evident that it's kind of like a time travel. So Indiana Jones finds a time traveling machine, something like from the Incas or something. And so he goes back and forth. And so Harrison Ford is de-aged in a lot of different ages, basically. So I think like there's an aspect that's unavoidable aspect of melancholy, of, you know, kind of like, you know, old age. I think it starts like a forgotten teacher or something like that, and then he goes back to the last adventure. But I think like the Indiana Jones, like the first I was mentioned before, the original ones were good because they were kind of like real. The stunts were real. Everything was real. The fourth one, the Crystal Skull, I think.
Yeah.
It was awful, like because like the, you know, you always had like these big scenes in Indiana Jones with like, you know, snakes or insects or rats, right? Like these were like the kind of like the scenes, disgusting scenes. And the last one was ants, but it were ants generated by CGI, so you could tell kind of like they're fake, you know. You can tell, you know, there's no way CGI can fool you in any way. If you see something real on screen, I think some part of our brain still recognizes that as real. So I'm just afraid that the Indiana Jones will be a lot of CGI, a lot of stunts, a lot of special effects, and it plays against the movie, I think. I think this kind of movie, it needs to be kind of like, you know, like the old John Ford westerns, you know, when you see like the horse is falling down, it's like, oh, yeah, this is a real horse. It's not kind of like, you know,
yeah,
a green screen or something like that.
Although I guess if it's the whole film, he's being de-aged. I don't think maybe the layer of authenticity is also not there.
Yeah, they're not going to save anything, I think. They're going to just go full throttle in, CGI, 3D, and then explosions, and Indiana Jones machine gun or whatever. And I don't know, like, I hope it's not that bad, because I'm going to watch it anyway because I'm a fool. But, you know, every time, like, the last movie, like, broke my heart. You know, so, like, just like the last Matrix, you know, like, just... and just, my God, they ruined the movie for me. But in the upside from Cannes, there's a Scorsese movie that people are saying, and I hate to kind of like, you know, generate these high expectations on myself because I'm always disappointed. People are saying that just the ultimate masterpiece of Scorsese. And Scorsese said, like, in that interview.
Did he say it himself?
Yeah, the interview was really good. The interview was kind of, he said like, now I have finally learned what is cinema, but now it's too late. So he was talking that in the press conference afterwards, saying that Kurosawa used to say to him the same. Back in the 90s, when he was like producing Kurosawa movies, Kurosawa was saying like, okay, now I have learned, but I had but now I don't have time, I don't have money, now I know the key.
Well, at least Scorsese's got money.
Yeah, he has, but you know what? Like, he only releases a movie every 4 years, and he's 83.
Yeah.
So this might be his last one, or you know, second to last. I don't know.
What's it meant to be about?
So it's based on a book. It's called Killers of the Flower Moon. It's about, I haven't read anything because I want to be surprised about it.
Yeah.
But it is kind of like this big Western. It's 4 hours and 20 minutes, I think. So it's going to be an intermission in between, in the middle. It's like DiCaprio was telling that, was saying that it was a new, unique experience for him to be on this set. And it was the first time in his career, he said, that in the middle of the movie, in the middle of the set, in the middle of like shooting the movie, he already knew that this was going to be something that for the ages, it's going to be eternal, this movie. He's sure of it. And I don't know, like, this can be our publicity stunt, but I don't know. I think like, yeah, of course, take my money.
Don't say anymore. You're building up my expectations.
Yeah. I know. I have tried myself to avoid it, but you know, like, I just want to watch it in the biggest screen there is. I don't know, yeah. IMAX.
Yeah, and the other movie that I heard about was, I'm not sure I actually want to see it. It's was Johnny Depp's comeback in a French movie.
True.
And he's playing King Louis the 15th, and he's actually speaking French in the film.
Oh, really? He's speaking French?
Yeah.
So that's good. That's a good point.
Yeah, I'd be curious. Yeah, obviously, not uncontroversial. But
there's Barbie the movie coming as well.
Yeah, is that, what is that?
Oh, you haven't,
even my children have said.
Yeah. You're not gonna watch Barbie the movie.
But isn't it kind of slightly satirical?
It is kind of like, it's a dark comedy, I think.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know, like it's Ryan Gosling and what's the name of the girl, the one that did Babylon, the really,
yeah,
the amazing blonde one. What is
I
it?
Forgot. Yeah. I forgot,
you know, like the Wolf of Wall Street. So she's Barbie and he is Ken.
But I think it's in a universe where there's multiple Kens and multiple Barbies.
Oh yeah, really? Oh,
again, this is, I don't know, but I'm not,
I think,
sure.
they're not able to have sex because they're made of plastic. I think that's kind of like the synopsis, and then Ken doesn't have anything there.
That's mind blowing. That's weird.
Yeah, that's mind blowing. That's weird, man. That's really weird. But I know. Yeah, I think I'm gonna save my ticket for this one, and I'm gonna watch it when streaming.
I'll play another song. I think it's written, it's, I think it's in Portuguese. Is this one?
Oh, you, Televisão. Yes.
Is that you've added to the playlist?
I added to the playlist because Rita Lee is kind of like considered the queen of Brazilian rock, and she died last month, and it's like, okay, so this is one.
So it's Branco and Mayra Andrade.
Yes, it's, no, it's
Sorry, I'm looking at the wrong one. This one, Televisão. Okay.
Televisão. Yes.
Yeah, let's play that. Cool.
Okay. Cool.
Fechada. é que a televisão me deixou burra, muito burra demais. E agora vivo dentro dessa jaula junto dos animais.
Ô Grider, fala pra mãe que tudo que a antena capta, meu coração capturado. Vê se me entende pelo menos uma vez, criatura. Nada. Deixo a cortina fechada. Muito burro demais. Muito burro demais.
Okay, welcome back. So that was, okay, this is going to be my attempt at a pronunciation. Television by Titus.
Yeah, Titus.
Titus. like a rock band from Brazil, and this was an acoustic set.
It's an acoustic set with the special guest is Rita Lee that passed away last month. Yeah.
Rita what?
Rita Lee.
Rita Lee, okay. Okay, so the band Titus. It's still they're still operating.
They're still active. They're kind of like it's a punk rock from Brazil, basically. But that's acoustic. It's a hardcore band from Brazil. Yeah.
Hardcore. Wow. I wouldn't have noticed. Yeah. with us acoustic. Well, okay. Next.
It had phases because they were like since the 70s. So they had the phase of like rock and roll and then hardcore and then rock and roll. Hard to define.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, on that note. Guess it's almost time's almost up, and going to move on seamlessly to our friends from Hillhead to Harleston. I don't know why it's not that difficult, but it remains a tongue twister for me. So EC Deep in the house.
It's been going too long to change it.
So yeah, have a good June, everyone. Enjoy this beginning of summer, and see you in July.
See you next month.
Thank you, Nectar Island. Hello, good evening. This is the Hillhead to Harleston radio show. It's the 1st of June. It is the first day of summer. I think there's probably some kind of calendar date that isn't the first day of summer.
But
is it? Oh, great, thanks. I would say June, July, August. That's the summertime. So thank you for everyone for tuning in, and I hope you've all been well over the last month. We are lined up with a bag full of obviously strictly underground music. Got some really interesting electronic tracks going to play for you this evening between myself and Stevie. Just want to say hi to Mr. Miller, folks up in Scotland, SoundCloud listeners, including Dan over in New Zealand, and Steve, I'm sure you got some hellos to make there.
Yeah, 109 crew, as always, really.